We'll work on that, and we'll get it the way it used to be. Amen. Praise God. So we need that good enough old timer. Now be seated. Y'all got it. Oh, praise God. Folks, I'm sweating. No, I got water. I need something to sop it up with. I need one of the biscuits from the back. Did y'all try them biscuits this morning? Oh, my. Those what they call, Justin, they call those Larrabee biscuits. Amen. Makes your tongue jump out your mouth and beat your brains in. Just good. Good. Larrabee biscuits. And so anyhow, praise God. We will attempt to finish up a message that we started last week, and the power in prayer. And last week we looked in an individual's life and the way he prepared himself in prayer. We looked at Daniel, all right? And when he came to the Lord with this in mind. He set his face unto the Lord to seek by prayer, supplication with fasting and sackcloth. And when we saw this pattern, or when we looked at this pattern, some things jumped out in my mind. There was a sincere and a sensible and affectionate prayer that Daniel had. When he came to the Lord, he had a point. It was sincere. He was on purpose about what he was doing. It wasn't just haphazard. It was sensible, you know. It was organized, and he had the things in order that he wanted to pray for. And he had affectionate, the pouring out this deep, real, personal compassion for the sin of the nation and for the times that were at hand. That's how Daniel prayed. And I said, this is something that we ought to try. Mm-hmm. Amen. So I'm going to ask you, how was your prayer life this past week? Amen. It was up there. Amen. Praise God. Because if I found in my prayer life, it really increased. That message last week, that pattern last week, really helped a lot. When I came to the Lord with a sincere prayer, honestly opening my life, my heart, and looking exactly what God wanted out of prayer, not so much what I wanted out of prayer. Amen. And then as I was praying through that this week, and looking at it, more than just sincere, which means a deep, honest openness before God. And not just a simple, sensible prayer, meaning organized or focused with a driven purpose, or even affectionate, that pouring out of my heart with a real passion. I said, "What, Lord, all right, if we're doing that, what else do we need?" Well, we need the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen? We need the help of the living God. We need the help of the Spirit that lives in us to guide us in that. And that's what we'll be talking about today, what we'll be getting into today, how the Spirit helps us in the power of prayer. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. And ask for His help, His guidance, and the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness. Lord, we thank You for Your abundant mercy. Father, I thank you that You sent the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth and all righteousness, to remind us the things that You did. And Lord, I pray even now as we're about ready to open this scripture up, as we're ready to open up what You have for the church today, Lord, that You would speak to us through Your word, by Your Spirit, and in the authority of Jesus, Your Son. Father, we thank You for that, and we praise You for it. We rest inside of Your ability and not our own. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And praise God. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And so this whole thinking about prayer and the way to have it, 8:26 and 27, it, Paul writing to the church and said, "The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit," and it says itself. I'm in the idea that the Holy Spirit is not an it.
Amen.
He is a person. Amen.
Yes.
And I know that the King James translates it this way, and I love the King James Bible. I would prefer to say Himself.
Amen.
Amen. And I hope that does not offend anybody. I like Himself. All right. And if you want to call the Holy Spirit it, be careful. He is part of, he's the Godhead Trinity. He has feelings, he has emotion, he has a drive, he has a will. He is an individual in the Godhead. Amen. He is part of that Trinity, and he is not an it.
No.
All right. Now, I'm sorry. I'm going to jump on a short soapbox here. It's not going to last long. I've just got to say some things. This is it.
Yes.
All right. That chair you're sitting on isn't it. That blackboard, that's an it. This light, that's an it. This building isn't it. The Holy Spirit is in him.
Amen.
He is personal. He's deep. He's loving. He has feelings. You can hurt his feelings. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. I cannot grieve this piano. I might play on it and grieve you. All right? But I cannot grieve this piano. It's an inanimate object. It's an it. The Holy Spirit is not. Anyhow, I love the King James Bible. The only thing that I have any problem is when the authors or the translators translate something so holy into something inanimate. All right? So anyhow, said that to say this, that I love it, and anyhow, I'm going to use himself in the translation, okay? And so, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. All right, now there's many things that are in this. First, we need to know that the Holy Spirit of God helps our infirmities. Who here's got some things that are infirmities? You've got some hard times, some trouble, some sin in your life? Amen? You better have both your hands up. If not, I'm going to call you a liar. Amen? Because you got problems. How do I know? Because I got problems in this body, in this flesh. I am a sinner, and I need to be kept straight. Amen? And I know that I cannot do this in my own. My works are never good enough. I need the grace of God, and he gave me the Holy Spirit to help. He is the helper to help me with my infirmity. Amen. Right? So when I cannot pray as I ought to, and I cannot get in the right, sincere, sensible, affectionate mood of prayer, I have the Holy Spirit that makes intercession for me because I'm too stupid to talk on my own. Amen?
Amen.
Can you testify?
Amen.
All right? Are you there? You might think you're real smart, you're real good, you're real ready, but folks, we're not. Amen. We're not where we ought to be, but God. Amen. I love those two words. Anywhere I see it in the Word of God, it just makes me excited because I know who I am. I believe who He is, and I have faith that God Himself has given me His Spirit to make intercession for me. Because when I don't know how to pray as I ought to, He does it through me, for me. He makes groans to the Father in a language I cannot say. Amen? Praise God for that. We need the Holy Spirit, the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he says, verse 26, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not how we should pray as we ought to. But the Spirit himself makes intercession. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I need somebody to make intercession for me. How about you guys? Have you already made it? You don't need no help? Amen. Paul said, it's not as if I have made it, but I persevere. I drive on.
Right?
I persevere. I allow the Holy Spirit to start working in me, to doing things in me that I cannot do myself. And one of those things is pray properly. Amen. And so anyhow, he says he makes intercession with groanings. So the Spirit of God speaks to God the Father from our heart with words that we were not able to say ourselves. Amen. Have you ever been in that spot of prayer where all you can do is, I can't say a word. All I can do is groan. I don't know what that does. I know that my heart's breaking in that moment. I know that what God is having to say is so much more important than what I have to say.
Amen.
That God shuts my lips down, shuts my vocal cords down, and all I can do is groan. Amen?
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit takes that, and He takes that heart, He takes that affection, He takes that sincerity, He takes that sensibility before the throne room of God and translates it. Amen. Praise God. If you think that you can pray without the Holy Spirit, first, you're wrong. Amen. And you need the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to pray in a way that changes you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Because we're praying His will, right? That's what He says that as we keep on reading this. And He searches the hearts and He knows the minds of the Spirit because He makes intercession for the saints according. For the who? Saints. All right, for the saints. If you are not born again, are you a saint?
No.
All right. If you are born again, are you a saint?
Yeah.
Amen. So for those who are born again, according to the will of God. According to the will of God. I like that because if I pray the things that I want, it's probably not God's will. Amen. But if I get into that deep, sincere brokenness before God. If I do whatever it takes to get my life in line with the Word of God, I do the things. I submit. Amen, sister? I submit to what God has to do and seek His will, not my own. And God starts doing stuff. He starts moving in ways that I don't know. And you know what? I might not ever see that. But I have confidence in this, that God has heard my prayer because the Spirit dwells in me. And He has made intercession for me. And He has talked in ways that I cannot understand. He's moved in my heart and in the hearts of others to call His righteousness. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. But I'm going to start reading in 9 because I like 9. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. But as it is written, you can park there all day. Amen? Because it's not what I say that makes a difference. As it is written, as what the Bible says is important. Amen? As it is written, all right? I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Amen? Now catch this. You cannot understand what God has for you. He's got blessings for you. You can't wrap your heart and mind around. He's got things in store for you that you cannot see yet.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. He has it already prepared. All you got to do is love Him. Yeah. Right? You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then after you get that squared away, then you're able to love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? You do those and you've completed the fullness of the law. That's what Jesus said, all right? But God hath revealed them unto His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth, what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit, small s, the Spirit which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the biggest of Spirit of God, all right, the Holy Spirit. Now look at what Paul is saying here to the prayer, to those. Listen, I don't know what God has in store for me, but I know it's good. Amen. I don't know. I can trust everything that happens in my life because all things work for good to those that love Him and are called for His purposes, right? Do you believe that? Amen. Now, do you know that you cannot wrap your mind around everything God has for you? So what are you supposed to do?
Pray.
Trust Him. Walk in obedience to Him, all right? And for God hath revealed those things that He has by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches how many things? All things. Praise God that you have the Holy Spirit. He's searching all things for you. He's searching all things in your life. He's going through you page by page, paragraph by paragraph, sentence by sentence, emotion by emotion. And He's searching those things out in your prayer life. Amen. He's looking for the righteousness of God in you. He's searching all things. Yea, the deep things of God. That's why I call it the righteousness of God. What is the deep things of God? Oh, how about the love of God?
Amen.
Is that not a deep thing of God? Amen. Isn't that the depth, the height, the breadth, the width of the love of God no man can comprehend? Oh, how He loves you.
Amen.
And He wants to communicate with you. Do you know that God wants to talk to you? He wants to talk to you through your prayer life, through circumstances, through the written word of God. His greatest desire is to communicate with his creation. He wants to talk to you. He wants to reveal things to you in prayer. His deepest desire is for us to know him, the one true God, and the Son who he sent. Because that is eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
That's what Jesus said in John 17, chapter 3. This is eternal life, that we know God, that we commune with him, that we have fellowship with him, that he has the freedom to move in our lives and give us direction. Who needs that? I do. Amen? I need that. And I pray that you're seeking that with the fullness of your heart. That you're seeking that through prayer. That you're willing to lay your life out. Pour it out. Knock it down. Lay it flat before the Lord. Amen. That he could search the deep things of your heart.
Amen.
And that he would expose those deep things in your heart. That he would just make intercession for your infirmities. Man, I praise God for that.
Amen.
My prayer life is weak because of my faith that he is really wanting to do that. To do those things. Only God knows. For what man knows the things, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him. See, you don't. The only one who really knows the real you is the you that's inside. See, I can look at you, Jim, and I can say, "Man, that's a." Every time me and Jim talks, he talks about the grace of God, and I thank God for that, because sometimes I get kind of crotchety, you know. I do. I mean, I have the grace of God, and I understand the grace of God, but sometimes I need a man to remind me that God and his grace. Amen. I need to be reminded and shown that every once in a while. And Jim's one of those thorns in my side. That the Lord always brings around. And I say, yeah, Curtis, you think about the grace of God when you say those things and stuff like that. Praise God for that man in my life. I need more of those.
Yes.
Amen. And so he knows the things of man. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Amen. The things that God has, I know man. I don't even know what God has. So I need to be in tune with God through the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He wants to bless me. He wants to work in me. He wants to change my life. He wants to make me a conduit of the power of the Most High God. He wants to use us as a freeway of the love of God through our hands, through our mouths, through our lives, right? He wants to do that.
Amen.
One thing what we're not doing is praying in such a way that God would do that for us. Because I can't do it on my own. I need to have such a broken and a contrite and a humble heart that only the Spirit of God can give me.
Amen.
Often I pray, but I pray for my own wants. Why do you pray? Your wife's over here, brother. And so sometimes you pray and you ask and you receive not. Why? Because you ask it for your own lust. James 4, I think. Anyhow, we pray and we seek things, right? Lord, bless me. Oh yeah, I named it, I claimed it. Lord bless me. I want this, I want that, I want the. Well, what if God doesn't want you to have that?
Right.
Amen. How many of you parents out there, when your child says, "Hey, I want this," you have to say no. You know? 12 years old, I want me a motorcycle. I want me a motorcycle. I don't need no helmet, Mama. I just need me a motorcycle. And you say, no, you don't. Not until you get a job, your own insurance, right? You can get one then. Or you know, Mom, I want to have ice cream all day long. No, you can't have ice cream. I love you too much to let you have that. Not that ice cream ain't good. I like ice cream. I like sherbet, right? So, anyhow. That's me personally. But, you know, a good parent says no to the things that are not beneficial.
Amen.
See, we want it for our own lust, right? Often we come to God and we ask for things, and God says, oh, I love you, but no. Yeah, no. You know, you're wanting this for your own selfishness. You're wanting this for your own self-righteousness. You're wanting to build yourself up. God says, no, I'm not going to do that because you're not to be glorified. I'm to be glorified in
Amen.
You. Right? So if you really want to pray, you need to pray, what the Spirit of God has you to pray.
That's right.
Right? So you need to be in tune with that. And sometimes God does things in us just because we're living right. Right? You know that? I was thinking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of God. What a great privilege that is, right? Now, she was just living her life. You know, she was doing the things that were right. Right? She was a holy, a sweet-hearted young lady. She had to have no guile in her heart. And God picked her out of a crowd. Mm-hmm. Right? He said, yeah, you're the one. You're the one that's going to bear the Christ. You're going to have him. And she said, it's impossible. Listen, God, I can't do that. I've never known a man. She told that to the angel. But what the angel said to her in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Right? How are you with that thought? With God, if you are with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
Do you believe that? Amen. Do you believe that in your prayer life? Do you believe that in your day-to-day walking and living? Do you really understand that God's great grace is for you and not against you?
Amen.
Amen? That his multiplied mercy and love and compassion is his whole thing is to pour that on you and in you to change you.
Right.
Right? His mercy isn't for you, it's for everybody else around you.
Amen.
Right? Now God loves you and he's built a place for you in heaven. He has a spot for you. But while you are here, we're supposed to be the conduits of the mercy, grace, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Right? God gives us those things. He puts those things in us. He puts his mercy in us. He puts his compassion in us. He puts his love in us. And it's not for
Amen.
Us. It's for everybody else.
Amen.
How's that in your prayer life?
Yeah.
How's that? Have you ever prayed God? I mean, we always thank God for the many blessings that he gives, don't you? God, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Bless you for this. We pray for our food. Thank you, God. But have we really prayed the way the disciples asked Jesus to pray, or asked Jesus to teach them to pray? Luke. Lord, teach us to pray.
Absolute surrender to God's will of the secret.
I love you.
Never question it.
That is absolutely the truth, my sweetheart. Of Luke 11, I believe it is. So turn up with your Bibles over to Luke 11. And so, yeah, it is. All right. All right. Luke 11 and verse 1. Are you there?
Yes.
Amen. And it came to pass, as he was praying, as Jesus was praying, in a certain place, and he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to teach you to pray? Or do we just start blabbing stuff? Alright? Really and truly, do you want to know how to pray? I want to know how to pray. Obviously, Jesus had a way of prayer that was so intense, that was so perfect, that was so in tune with God, that his disciples said, oh, Jesus, I want that. Can you teach me how to pray like you pray? Have you ever heard somebody pray and you say, oh, that's such a good prayer? All right? And praise God for that. They must have a relationship with God that is deep, that is real, that the Holy Spirit is talking and using them. Do you want that?
Amen.
Amen? You got to want it. Have you ever asked Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, the one that indwells me, teach me how to pray? Teach me how to pray. Because I don't, well, we already read that my spirit, I need the Holy Spirit groaning in me.
Amen.
Right? I need him hollering out in me in such a way. And Jesus said this to them, when ye pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Okay. So just looking at that, when you pray, say, now Jesus isn't saying, just memorize this and repeat it over and over and over again. All right. This is, remember, he has teach us how to pray. That's what started this. This is a pattern of prayer. All right. Not because Jesus also tells us not to pray in vain repetition, because you say the same thing over and over. Jesus said, because you make long speeches, you think that you'll be heard by God, but you really won't be. You know, just because you're repeating words doesn't mean anything. There's a depth in what Jesus is teaching here. And looking into that depth, first you got to know, is God your Father?
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, he is, whether you believe it or not, right? But when you become a saint of God, when you become born again, you become adopted into the fatherhood, into the kingship through Jesus Christ. So you accept him as your Lord and Savior, and now you're connected to the vine and the Spirit. The juices of God are flowing through you, and you're starting to bear fruit, and you're like this disciple of Jesus here, right? And he says, listen, you need to understand that Jehovah is your daddy. Abba. He's your Abba. He's your Father. He loves you. He cares for you. So you come to him and say, my Father, our Father, which art in heaven. I know where you're at. You're in heaven. You're in the very throne room of God. You're in the mercy seat. You are the mercy seat. You are the Shekinah glory. And I'm coming before you and I'm asking, my Father in heaven, you, the one who created all things, that spoke all things, you, I worship you. You are high and lifted up. I adore you. Right? You give him that reverence, that deepness, that compassion. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy. Think about this. When the angels are flying around in heaven, they're crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And his glory fills the earth. They're saying this over and over all day long, all night long in the presence of God. They're saying it so much that the doorposts of heaven are being shook. When was the last time we came into prayer with that reverence, with that holiness, with that deep, awesome sincerity about the mighty God? And we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Have you ever pictured him and the robe of his righteousness, his glory is filling the temple? And he wants to hear you. If that doesn't humble you, there's something wrong with your humbler. Amen? When you really think about what prayer is, when you think about what it is allowing you to do, where you're allowing to go, where you're when the awesomeness of God surrounds you. When was the last time you were there? Now ask yourself, what's stopping you from getting there? Amen? Because it's available.
Amen.
The door is open. You can go anytime through Jesus Christ, but there must be something else if you're not getting there regularly.
Amen.
Amen?
Bless God.
Are we, like my sister keeps saying, you got to totally surrender. Are you really? That's a secret, my sister. Are you really surrendered to the authority of the Most High God?
Bless him. Bless him.
He has things for you. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him.
Yes.
Do you want it? Now, I don't want the things. You know what I want? I don't want presents like gifts. I want the very presence.
Amen.
Of God. I want to be in his presence and bathing in the awesome. It's weighing me down even as I'm talking about it. The awesome presence of the Most High God. That weight, that God, that holiness.
Yes. Yes.
You can have it.
Amen.
You can have it. It's there. And it's there. It's open for you through Jesus Christ. You can have that. Oh, you need the Holy Spirit indwelling you, working in you, filling you.
Right.
Amen. And when I got saved, I thought that I had all of the Holy Spirit I could have. I really did. Well, Paul talked about this. And I believe that. Hold on. When I say that, I don't want people to think that you don't get all of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Because you do. You get all of Him. You get the full Lamborghini, baby. You got it all, right? But some of us never put gas in the car, right? All right, you got this beautiful, you got this wonderful working for Steve over there. I'll say you got the biggest, fanciest tractor that ever, you could pull a 700 plow thing. You could disc 80 acres with one pull. I mean, you got all of this power, right? All of this power right in you through the Holy Ghost. But you never crank the truck. And then you got it. It's available. It's right there. You got all you'll ever get. But you need to turn it on, baby.
Amen.
You need to turn it on. You got to get in that cab. You got to turn on that ignition. Roomba, roomba. You got to kick that accelerator a little bit. What did Daniel do? Daniel said, I set my face for 3 weeks. I prayed. I fasted. All right, I ate no good thing. For 3 weeks I did that. That's what he did. I'm not saying you need to do that. But I am saying you need to get serious with God. You need to get serious with the Holy Spirit. You need to be serious about your prayer life. Mm-hmm. You know, that song we sang, I come to the garden alone. When was the last time you did that? Really, honestly, church, you want to be in the presence of the Most High God? When was the last time you turned it off? What is it? It is everything. When have you turned it off? When have you got alone and quiet before God? When have you really, really fasted from Facebook? Right? When have you really fasted from TV? The radio? And there's nothing wrong with some of any of that. But when was the last time you say, God, I love you more than these?
Amen.
Right? I want you more than these. I need you deeper than all of this stuff. God, and so what I'm going to do, I want that Shekinah glory. I want that. I want the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I want the power of my prayer life. I want it, God. So I'm going to put all of this other stuff that is in my life that I love, and I'm going to take it and I'm going to kick it out of the door.
Yeah.
I'm getting rid of it. I don't need that if that's what's keeping me from entering in to the presence of the Most High God. And we got to be just that passionate about it. You got to want it.
Amen.
It's available, but if you don't want it, you may never get it. So you got to want it more than these. You got to love Him more than these.
Amen.
You've got to desire God. And you got to have confidence that He wants you to have it. Mm-hmm. Do you know that? Do you really believe that God wants you to have that authority? You really believe that He wants you to have that presence of the Most High God? Now, do you have confidence in that? Will you set your feet down into the God? You know, the reason I do that, who here has been on the beach? Right? Standing on the beach and the sea's coming up to your ankles. You go like this right here. You just get deeper and deeper. You could probably dig yourself a hole right down to your neck if you wanted to. Right? Well, that's what we need to do with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That fountain that flows from the throne room of God that turns into a massive river that no man can swim across.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Starts at your ankles. You go a little deeper. It goes to your knees. Go a little deeper to your waist. Go a little deeper. You're swimming in that grace, that mercy. Get a little deeper. You got to get a little deeper.
Yes.
Oh, and when you get in it deep, you'll find out that it's over your head, yet you cannot swim across it, right? You can't get through all the goodness of God that He has for you, but you got to want it bad enough to get into the water.
Amen.
There's so many Christians today that are standing on the bank and admiring the river. Oh, Lord, I wish I could get out in that water and play. I do. Well, what's stopping you? Put on your swimsuit. Dive right in. Start walking in it. Believing in it. Turning your life over to the fullness of the Spirit of God in you. In such a way that He illuminates you. Man. You got a 100-watt light bulb. You never screwed in. Right? I turn on the switch all the time. It never turns on. Well, take it up. You know, everything's working there. It's all available for you. You're just loose. Amen? The only thing that's wrong is you're loose. You need to be screwed in. Need to be connected. Need to tighten up a little bit.
Tighten up, that's right.
Tighten up so that you can relax and the light can come through you.
That's it.
Amen? Because really it's not anything that you do, but it's everything that he does.
Amen.
That first part of that prayer, God the Father, holy is his name, then your will be done
Amen.
On earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever thought about that statement? When God's will in heaven, when God says, well, I'm in heaven today, I want, fill in the blank. How long do you think it takes to get done? Right then. When God said, let there be light, guess what? Light blew across the universe, right?
Amen.
He wanted it to happen, it happened. Not until several days later was the sun and the moon and the stars made. Right? So God said, let there be light, and bam, throughout the universe, this Shekinah glory just exploded on the scene, illuminating everything.
Praise God.
He got screwed in. Right? He got tightened up. That same power is in you.
That's right.
That same power is in you. Do you want it to turn on? Do you want him to turn on? It's available.
Bless God.
Read the word of the Lord. Apply the word of the Lord. Walk in the righteousness of God. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up in the due time.
Amen.
Prepare to live in a lifestyle that glorifies him. Amen? Not just out in the open, but in the darkness of your own house.
Amen.
Not just out where everybody can see you, but when nobody sees you and it's just he and you alone.
Yes.
And he says, come to the garden. Come on in. Come on then. Come to the garden alone. Leave your transistor radio outside. Right? It's been a long time since you had a transistor radio. Right? Leave your cassette deck out there. Come where I am and sit at my feet and see that I will not give you more than you could ever imagine.
Oh, praise
Amen.
Lord.
Yeah. And it's probably not financially that you could use it on your own lust, but how about this thought? You come to the garden alone with God. You sit at the feet of the Most High. And he shows you his abundant mercy. He shows you that the God that spoke the creation, he spoke those things, loves you. Amen? What a great thought. You only enter into that confidence through a right relationship with the Most High God. You enter into that with a brokenness. With a humbleness that can only come through the Holy Spirit. I cannot get there on my own because I can't be good enough, right? I can't be holy enough. I can't be righteous enough. My works are like filthy rags before the Most High God. All I can do is come honestly, sincerely, and affectionately before the Lord God. Broken. That he can heal
That's
me.
It.
Amen? That brokenness. And so let me ask you one more time. Do you want it?
Yes, sir.
The only thing that's standing between you and that very place in prayer is air, because you've got the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Jesus paid it all. Amen? When he hung on the cross of Calvary and he said, it is finished, guess what? It was done. Sin, the nature of sin was paid for on Calvary. And if you accept him, if you say, God, I want you to be my Savior, he does that. He opens that connectivity between you and heaven, because you need the Spirit of God, because only the Spirit of God knows the things of God, right? We read that in the scripture today. Only that brings you in.
Amen.
And it's available. You got this huge tractor that you could plow 70 acres with one tug is in you already.
Amen.
It's there.
God's power.
And if you can believe this, all right, if you can have faith in this, like Jesus said, you can say to that mountain, be ye removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done for you.
Bless
but remember, you're praying his will, not your will be done.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes that mountain doesn't need to be moved. You know that?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes all you've got to do is get out your climbing boots. Right? I got to get to the top of the mountain. How am I going to do that? Through faith. I believe that God's going to walk me through this thing.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there are times that the thing's too big and I can't get over it. Amen. I got a history. Right? In that history of my youth, of my childhood, in myself, I could not get victory over that. But God. Amen. But God. He said, yeah, Curtis, I know you. I love you. I was there when you were going through all that stuff. And I called you. I anointed you way back then in the middle of the mud pile. I anointed you. I called you by name. You remember the day.
Right.
Well, God, why didn't you just miraculously deliver me out of that? Because I needed you to go through that mountain, through that hardship,
Amen.
Through that jungle, that now you're on the other side. You can minister to those who are still in it.
Yes.
Amen. So God didn't take me out of that, which he very well could have. What he did is he gave me strength within that.
Bless
that I might be able to pour what he gave me into other people's lives today.
Bless.
That's why I preach. Amen.
Amen.
That's why I preach. That's why I stand up here week after week.
Bless.
Okay. Next week will be page 3. Amen. And so we'll get into it because it's so much deeper than any of us can think. All right, now what we're going to do, real quick, those who are going to be baptized, I want to see your hands real quick. All right, praise God. I know your wife is there. Y'all hang out inside the church, okay? And because what we need to do, we need to change some clothes and stuff like that. And I'm going to walk you through what we're going to do outside. Everybody else who's going to be cooking hot dogs, stuff like that. Mike, we need the grill brought outside. All right, we need the fire started. We need somebody to help put up the volleyball net. Blow up the ball if you got the pucker in your lips. Right? No, actually, we got a pump. and those kind of things that need to be done. There's a lot of just stuff. We need to bring some chairs from the back up to the front. Those type of things. You can be a tool in the hands of the Most High God today. Amen. And so as we break, I want you all to go do the things that you need to do. There's food that needs to be got out here, right? That needs to be set up. Things like that. My wife is in the kids' room, and she's a much better organizer than I am. I say it. She does it. Amen. I said that really harsh, didn't I? Anyhow, it works that way, but yeah, it's not like I rule anything. Anyhow, I love you guys. And if you bring anything out of this sermon today, know this, that God loves you, and he wants to hear from you. His desire is to have that communication with you, real and personal. Okay? And if you'll meet him in the garden, if you'll meet him there, oh, he will multiply blessings to you like you cannot wrap your mind around. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. You are good.
Amen.
You're so good. You have loved us with a love that goes way beyond understanding. Father, you have shown us mercy and grace and compassion. And Father, I pray even now, for our fellowship, Lord Jesus, I pray for the baptisms that are going to be taking place this afternoon.
Yes.
Father, I pray for that your Holy Spirit will shroud us, cover us, mm-hmm. Father, as we come together just to enjoy your presence. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things.
Yes.
Father, I ask even now as the word of God has been preached that it has touched the hearts mm-hmm. and the minds of men. Lord, you said that your word would never return void. So I pray that you are accomplishing even now
Amen.
Things in the spiritual realm that I do not understand
Amen.
Nor can I see. Father, but you're doing it. Lord, I thank you for that. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. George, the volleyball net is in the back of the little pool.